Thanks very much to Jen Martin, who founded the Science Communication Program at the University of Melbourne, runs the EspressoScience.com blog and is author of Why Am I Like This? The Science Behind Your Weirdest Thoughts and Habits. So great to have you back with us, Jen, and what great subjects today. Hi.
Oh, hello. Thanks so much for inviting me back. It's a delight to be here, and there's so much good science to talk about.
So we know already it's nuts, the sense of smell that dogs have compared to humans, but you've been delving into, or a paper anyway has been delving into, which breeds have the best sense of smell. Enlighten us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, dogs are famous for it, right? We use dogs to sniff out drugs and diseases and explosives, even truffles. And we tend to think of sniffer dogs as being particular breeds, right? You know, German Shepherds, Bloodhounds, maybe Labrador Retrievers. We know Sherlock Holmes famously had a bloodhound called Toby to help him. And so people have thought that, you know, maybe these particular breeds, there's something about their noses or their brains or their genes that gives them a more sensitive sense of smell than, say, a pug or a poodle. But yeah, this new research out of the US has found that's not the case at all. They couldn't find any evidence that any particular breed of domestic dog is better at sniffing things out than any other breed. There was nothing about their noses or their brains or any genetic evidence that some are better than others. So they say, they reckon the reason that some breeds are better sniffer dogs than others comes down to behaviour. You know, some dogs are better at listening to human commands. Some dogs are more intent on pleasing their human trainers. Some dogs are just more trainable. Some maybe have better endurance out there in the field. So kind of any dog, your dog could be a great sniffer dog if you can just train it.
Isn't that interesting that it's another behavioural aspect? And we think of the little beagles, as you say, at the airports, but different kinds of dogs for different purposes. But it is something else other than I've got the truffle nose and you've got the methamphetamine nose.
I mean, they did find that wolves and coyotes do have a much better sense of smell than any domestic dogs. And I think that makes sense. You know, we've been breeding domestic dogs for something like 15,000 years. They're clearly very different to the grey wolves that they originated from. And I guess it's because, you know, domestic dogs, we love them, right? And we're happy to feed them. So they don't have to have quite the same sharp sense of smell to be able to find food because they know that we're going to look after them.
There you go. So that competition turned into a bit of a fizzer, but we've got to admire them. They're just phenomenal. Now, how on earth do you answer this question? New research into why people keep secrets about themselves. The question might be, why not?
Yeah.
How did researchers even go about setting this up?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Look, they did a heap of different experiments. They had about 2,500 people. They did some kind of fairly contrived experiments, I guess, in a lab amongst strangers. But then they did actually get real people with real secrets answering questions. And the whole premise for this is, you know, if you've done something that you were really ashamed of in the past, would you tell people about it? And, you know, if you're like many people, the answer is no. We don't really like to tell people about things that we've done. But that flies in the face of what we're told from when the time we're kids, right? I mean, we're all told that keeping a secret about something bad makes it worse. There's good research for that. We know that keeping secrets, you know, it's bad for us. It's bad for our physical health. It's bad for our mental health. It can lead to depression, anxiety. You know, having to live with a secret and think about it but not share it can be really bad. But the research shows that most of us do keep secrets. So 97% of people have at least one secret at any one time. And they found that on average, people have 13 secrets. So yeah, the question is, why do we do that when we know it makes us feel worse? And this study, it was really interesting. Basically, what they found through all these different experiments was we tend to overestimate how negatively other people are going to judge us. So, for example, they asked people about to write down a real negative secret that they were keeping from a loved one, and they asked the person to estimate how they thought their partner or their friend or their parent or whoever it was would react. And then some of those people actually revealed their secret. And, you know, some of them were really minor, like, oh, yeah, I snuck some chocolate from the pantry after my partner went to bed. You know, nothing too serious. But some of them were really important, something like cheating on a partner. And the research showed that consistently the person with the secret overestimated how negatively they would be judged. So even we're talking with a romantic partner and a serious secret, the person who revealed the secret really underestimated their partner's, I guess, compassion and empathy and consideration, and only focused on how much they would disapprove of them, which, I don't know, what do you think? It's kind of a nice and maybe surprising finding.
I'd love some more details. Part of me thinks our tribal nature, we were talking about the dogs earlier being pack animals, of course, but our tribal nature is a constant fear of being rejected from the group, right? And did they look at any timing with respect to this? I mean, was the chocolate stolen yesterday? Was the affair 25 years ago? Is there a time frame in which one's safe to emerge or what?
Yeah, look, I think that's an excellent question. And the answer is no, I couldn't find that particular detail. And I think you're right. I think that's super important. What they did say was that they found that, as the secret keeper, when we think about revealing our secret, we focus only on the bad thing that we've done and we feel ashamed or embarrassed or whatever it is. But what they found was that for the other person, and you're right, timing would have an effect, and I don't know about that, but for the other person, there were also positives in the exchange. So, yes, they find out this bad thing you've done, but they also then see you as this honest person who is willing to be
Interesting.
vulnerable and who has been open. And like you say, we're tribal people. And so maybe revealing secrets is about building trust. And I wonder if maybe it's kind of a relief. If someone else reveals something bad that they've done to you, maybe you feel less bad about yourself because it kind of normalizes that we all make mistakes and do dumb things
The
sometimes.
other thing it does sometimes is can give an explanation for a behaviour that the other person may otherwise be just trying to work out or guess. The other
The
fascinating.
relief of suddenly understanding somebody.
The other fascinating sort of corollary, it's a big word at this time of day, corollary to this
Oh, you did it. Well done.
is a woman author, and I not remember her name now, who wrote about why we lie. They're slightly different things. She essentially came back to the same point, I think, was we just don't want to be booted out of the tribe or being thought down on. But they're different ways that we approach unpalatable truths about ourselves. The third one I'd say is that propensity to rewrite history just a little to settle on a narrative that we're happy to live with. Very, very human behaviours. But that's reassuring. Now, are we genetically inclined towards listening to screaming metal as opposed to country or 80s pop?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because if you think, I mean, it comes down to the basic of how much do you actually like listening to music? Because, there's all different genres. There might be, particular music you love. But, some of us can't get through the day without listening to music. That is my husband, for sure. He's listening to music all the time. Whereas for me, I love music, I sing music, but I'm listening to podcasts and audiobooks all the time. And so these researchers in the Netherlands decided to try and understand more about genetic impacts on whether we listen to music or not, whether we seek out music, what music we like, how much we enjoy it. And so, as with many genetic studies and people, they worked with twins. So there's about 9,000 twins who are part of a big medical study in Sweden. And these researchers worked with them. So the twins were all kind of, middle age-ish, somewhere between their 30s and 60s. And about a third of them were identical twins, and two-thirds of them were non-identical twins. And that's important because identical twins have exactly the same genes, whereas non-identical twins share only about half their genes, just like any other siblings. But all of these twins had been raised in the same household, so they'd had the same kind of exposure growing up to, to particular music, which of course makes it easier to tease out what's genetic and what's not. And yeah, they showed that genetics seems to play a really important role in influencing how much people enjoy actually listening to music. So the identical twins were more than twice as similar in their level of enjoyment of music to one another than the non-identical twins. And so then they thought, well, maybe it's just about musical ability, and identical twins share being either very good at music or not so good at music. And so they did, tests to tease that out as well. And enjoyment of particular music wasn't at all linked to musical ability. So, if you share habits in terms of enjoying listening to music, the sort of music you listen to with your family, then it can be just as much in your genes, according to this research, as in, your habits and what music your parents played to you when you were a kid, which I think is interesting, right? Because I don't think of music enjoyment as being genetic.
True, true. And also another side to this is whether you like silence. One of my issues is not a love of music. It's just at times I like silence. And I used to work in a place where there was music on 24/7. It was like, can we just kind of sit and listen to the birds? But no.
There's heaps of research to show how important silence is. Yeah. You know, noise pollution is absolutely a real thing. And that doesn't have to be aeroplanes or trucks. Yeah, it can just be unwanted music of any kind.
Another time, we'll pick up on that. Thank you, Jen Martin.